This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome. This is Podcast 177, and today we're going to be talking about saving your heart for true love. With me on the line is Meredith Curtis. Welcome, Meredith.
Felice, I'm so glad to be here and so excited to talk about this as we get ready for Valentine's Day. What a great topic.
Oh, it is. And I'm excited, too, because both of us have similar stories. I want to remind our listeners of a couple of things. First, do you know that you can find us on just about every stream that carries audio? So we are on iTunes, on Google Play, and a bunch of other ones. You can find us on Stitcher. Whatever is your favorite way to listen to podcasts, then you can also listen on a smartphone or on the website. So there's a ton of ways that you can listen to our show. And also, if you want to help us out, which I'm sure you do, we would ask that you share this show with your friends. So how do you do that? You go to vintagehomeschoolmoms.com and you click on the social media and just share it with all of your friends. We really thank you for that. And also, do that to Meredith's show. Meredith, you host a show on our website as well, and that is the Finish Well Radio. And Meredith has a whole team of podcasters that help her there. So go to the website at ultimatehomeschoolradionetwork.com, click on the Finish Well Radio button with the big F and the crown, and then you'll see all the wonderful people that help Meredith get this podcast out there and do the same. Just click on the social media buttons and share, as well as giving us a like on iTunes. That really helps us get found. I want to thank our sponsor this week, which is Elephant Learning. ElephantLearning.com/MediaAngels allows you to have 14 days free without giving them your credit card, and you can try this program. My grandkids are using it right now for math, and they are really having a great time. You can also hear the interview I did with one of the software creators, and he and I had fun talking, especially when I told him, Meredith, that I didn't really like kids in front of a computer screen. I said, you know, I'm not really big on a whole bunch of programs. And the good news is that it's only like 5 to 10 minutes a day, and my daughter uses that as part of school. But it's been amazing. They've only done it, I would say, like about a month at this point, and she's already seen some improvement because it's all conceptual. It's not, you know, 2 + 3 with equations. It's really working with just the concepts of math. And so they've used a lot of studies that have come out of the University of Denver on how kids learn best, and they're really finding using math as a headway really helps. So I want to thank them for sponsoring our entire network this past month and this week with this podcast. Meredith, share a little bit, because we always dive right into our topic, where people can find you on your website.
Oh, awesome. You can find me at MeredithCurtis.com, and you can also find me at JSHomeschooling.com and FinishWellCon.com. So on the Joyful and Successful Homeschooling or JSHomeschooling.com, there's a lot of freebies. The most popular page is the reading lists. And on my website, you can learn a little bit more about me, and you can learn about some of my books. And if you want to purchase my books, you can find them on Amazon. Just, you can find the books on my website and then look for the title. Just put in the title of the book and my name, and you can find those. If you want to order ebooks, you can find them at powerlineprod.com. And so, and I think, Felice, you have some on your website.
Do.
I'm not sure.
I do. We're
and,
supposed to be getting more of them over there. So Meredith and I, now that when neither one of us homeschools, we both help out. You know, I know you still help out with your grandkids and stuff and everything, but it seems like our time still hasn't materialized that we thought we would have at this point in our lives. Yeah, so we'll get more over on Media Angels, I'm sure. Okay, Meredith, well, we're going to get started here. So we are talking today about saving your heart for true love, and what we're both, you know, concerned about. And I know, you know, especially you have a lot of girls, and I have two girls, and us being girls, you know, we've gone through our teen years, and you know, and our young adult years. And I know that, you know, I witnessed a lot of my friends going through heartbreak. I witnessed a lot of my friends dating profusely. I was not allowed to date, so my parents kissed dating goodbye before it was even a cool thing to do or before, you know, they didn't read any books. I always say that my dad was Italian, and his big reasoning when I asked him why I couldn't date is he showed me the front door and he said, "Do you see that door?" Everything is like a parable in Italian families, especially when your parents were born in Italy. And I said, "Yes." And he said, I don't trust anyone to walk in that door, but you're allowed to walk out it. So I was just like, what the heck does that mean? And you know, it's like, so basically what he was saying to me, you know, I got a little bit of translation from my mother, was that my dad trusted me and he trusted my wisdom, but he didn't trust the fact that we would let people into our home unless he knew who they were. So if someone was a stranger, they couldn't just come in. You know, that he had to know who this person was and find out about their family and that sort of thing. And so it was, you know, not enough that I could say I went to school with this person or I knew them, you know, even from church or, you know, as it turned out, that the first person I ever went out with was actually one of my dad's customer's sons. But even that wasn't, you know, enough. Because my parents owned a restaurant. So I know that you've also, you know, watched the same thing with friends, and also now as we've gotten older with, you know, our friends and friends' children. So we want to talk about the importance of saving your heart for true love. And you've got a number one, and we're going to each do 3 points. So why don't you go ahead, Meredith, with yours, because our number ones are the same.
Okay, awesome. One of the things that I have learned, both as a single woman and as a married woman, and for my daughters, one is married and three are still single, is that Jesus needs to be our first love, because there is not a man on earth who can fulfill all of our needs, who can make us feel beautiful and loved 24/7. And there is no one who is perfect except Jesus. And Jesus knows how to love us absolutely in his wonderful, perfect, magnificent way. He changes us from the inside out. He meets every need. He is always there. He is always faithful. And when we are loved by him, there is a confidence in us and an ability to love without seeking anything in return. See, because marriages don't work because someone gives 50 and the other person gives 50%, but marriages work because each person gives 100%. But there are times you can't give 100%, and maybe you're needing to give 100% to your spouse who's only giving 40% at the time. I'm kind of being silly with the percentages, but I think you do know what I mean.
Right.
And here we have this situation where, you know, we need to be loved and fulfilled in Christ so we can love our husband one day, and so that our self-worth is not dependent on whether a man likes us back or a boy likes us back, but our self-worth is dependent on Jesus, and our ability to love people is based on him. And when that happens, we are really free to be kind, to be loving, to be supportive, to the man that God brings, and especially to the to the man that God brings to be our husband.
Right. And that's so true. And I know my first two is a relationship with the Lord. And, you know, having time, you know, especially when your parents, like my parents did, you know, didn't give me any permission to date. There wasn't anything I could say, do, or plead that was going to change that. So when you've got that kind of as a mandate, that I think is freeing for a girl not to have to worry about it, because it's not, oh gosh, I'm going to be sitting home on a Friday night. It's that, you know, all your friends know why you're not dating. And, you know, you go through the whole thing of, you know, oh, they feel bad for you and that's so sad and whatever. But it's also freeing because I didn't have to worry what anybody thought. And, you know, be panicked that, oh, gosh, you know, nobody likes me and I'm not looking around. And when you have that time, then, you know, you have time to have that relationship with the Lord. And my daughter the other day and I were talking, and, you know, she and I have a 17-hour trip to go back to Maryland, you know, a few times a year now until one more year this year, and then she's going to come back to Florida and go to school. But we've you know, had so much time to talk about different things, and my kids are big into reminiscing right now. You know, like they're telling me some things that happened, and, you know, all pretty mundane kinds of things, other than jumping off of some stuff and, you know, tree kinds of things, or chopping something down in the backyard that I didn't know about. But, you know, it's just stuff like that, which is, you know, I always am very happy that it's things like that and not, you know, could be worse. So we were talking and she said to me, you know, she goes, Mom, you need to perfect your, you know, your discussion on dating. And I said, why? And she goes, well, you sat Nick and I down and you said, I just want to go over this. You guys know you can't date, right? And they both said, you know, she said, we were kind of young when you said that. And I don't even remember how old they were. And they were like, yeah, we don't want to date. And I said something like, okay, good, we're on the same page. All right, where do you guys want to go for lunch? I have no recollection of even saying any of that. So, you know, and with them, you know, it wasn't an issue with my youngest son. It became an issue with the way young girls are today. And I was really very shocked because he couldn't even drive. And already there was all of this, you know, can I do this? Can I do that? And, you know, and getting asked to prom and things like that. And I guess I was just taken aback, which I shouldn't be. So any of you moms out there that have sons or daughters, you know, that the girls just have no qualms about picking up the phone or, you know, I call it the stalking, you know, especially if you have a child who's an athlete at the field, you know, all these girls come now and, you know, cheer people on very loudly. And then you're thinking, oh my gosh, they're cheering very loudly my son's name, you know, and you're sitting there. And I, truthfully, Meredith, I was a little bit uncomfortable, you know, because I didn't know who these people were.
Right.
And so, you know, finally, you know, my other child pointed out, you know, this one person who was pursuing my son. And it never got very far because, you know, there was the discussion, you know, no, we don't do this. No, we don't, you know, no, we don't go, you know, ice skating by ourselves with a girl. And no, we don't, you know, even though it was public kinds of things, we just don't do that, you
right.
know. And so what ended up happening, the end of the story was, he came away with the thought that he wasn't very much fun. And I, you know, because this poor girl, you know, she had nowhere to go because, you know, we weren't giving the permission to, you know, for her, for the situation to escalate. But at the end of the, you know, I sat my son down. I said, why are you coming out with this idea? And it was because this person had put this in, you know, kind of like, well, the reason we're not going to continue to do anything is because you're not really that much fun. Whereas the reason they were not going to continue to do anything is, you know, his mom was and dad were saying, you can't do anything. So she was
right.
frustrated, and I kind of explained that to him. And it took some time to you know, and I still don't know exactly what he thinks or feels, but you get these feelings, and that sort of happened to me, too, in junior high school. But it was the opposite. I'm not pretty because this guy, you know, went through this whole thing where he was picking out this girl that he wanted to, you know, date. And at that point, it hadn't even come up because, again, we were way too young. And I hadn't even come up with my parents that I, you know, how did I know I couldn't date? And later on, I thought, man, I would have been dead if this guy had picked me. But, like, the whole school knew that he went for the, you know, the cheerleader. And yet he said I was a lot more fun. So my thought was, you know, and this is as a seventh grader, I'm thinking I'm not pretty, but I'm fun. And that carried on with me throughout life. And so that's why this is such an important topic, that we should save our heart for true love, because it can really hurt us, can it?
I think it really can. And I was thinking about, I wrote a song for my friend Sarah when she got married. And it started by saying, running hard after Jesus, found myself running after you. I mean, found myself running next to you. And I think when you pursue God and you're running hard after God, you find yourself next to people that are running after God too. And so it's not kind of like Russian roulette, like, oh, wow, he's really attractive and he's asked me out. And, you know, I'll find out. Maybe he is a nice guy. Maybe even he's a Christian. Maybe he really wants to serve the Lord with all of his heart. When you're busy serving the Lord and you're building friendships with different guys who are also serving the Lord, or you're a guy and you're building friendships with different girls who are serving the Lord, it's a completely different story. And I think that's why we want to be pursuing God. And there's a verse in 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy that says that flee the evil desires of youth and pursue love, righteousness, peace, et cetera, along with those who call upon the Lord with a pure heart. So, you know, the kids at our church who are, you know, the age that, you know, their kids are dating, they're not dating each other, but they're really good friends with each other. And they're talking mm-hmm. about their quiet times, and they're talking about, you know, what God is teaching them, and they're doing things together to help out maybe someone who's, you know, struggling financially. Maybe they're going over to a single mom's house and they're serving together within a big group. So I really think that sets kids up to value one another. And instead of being put down because I wasn't chosen, to be built up and said, you know, that really encouraged me, Madeline. Thank you so much. Or Shine, you always make my day. I'm really blessed to be your friend. That's the kind of things that are said to one another when everybody's focus is on God, not trying to pair up. And that kind of brings me to my second point, to esteem what God esteems rather than what the world esteems. I am flabbergasted when I sit down and watch, you know, a movie with my kids, or maybe we'll watch like an old TV show, and, you know, two people will meet each other. And then within a day or two of meeting each other, they realize they're in love with each other. And I'm thinking to myself, there is absolutely no way they even know what kind of person the other person is. Mm-hmm. And how do they know that they're getting into a good situation or a bad situation? And it's almost portrayed by Hollywood as if, you know, you have no control over falling in love. It just happens to you. And, you know, if it's a guy who's a criminal and, you know, he's a mafia boss or something, oh, well, that's just too bad because, you know, you just fell in love and there's nothing that you can do. And it really demeans love to a place of being animalistic, because what it really means is I want you. I have, you know, feelings for you. And so I think when we look at what God esteems, first of all, he esteems true love, which is placing a higher value on another person than yourself. And also, it means esteeming qualities in the opposite sex that are what God calls godly or honorable or wise. And, you know, we can, Proverbs is perfect for just looking through and saying, okay, well, you know, what does God esteem? What is a delight to him? And so many things that we might think are so cute. Oh, isn't that cute? They're always late. You know, and then all of a sudden you're married to them for 20 years and it's not so cute. Or maybe, you know, they're always spending money. They never have money because they've already spent it all. That's so cute. Oh, isn't that cute? And then you're married 30 years and you're like, oh my goodness, we're in debt. We have all these financial problems. So what I think we need to train our children to think about, you know, what does matter to God. And one of the things that I do is I have my children look at different passages of scripture when they're young. I mean, they're like 13, 14, you know, they're not even, you know, well, I don't know. They might be thinking about getting married, but not in a really realistic way. And I have to make a list. What are the things that God esteems in a man, my girls? And then for my son, what are things God esteems in a woman? And then you make a list of what, you know, this has to be in this person for me to consider marrying them, and make a list of those things. I absolutely non-negotiables. And, you know, I talk to my children about watch the way they treat their mom. Watch the way they treat their dad. Watch the way they interact, because, you know, you duplicate in your own home how you grew up, how you treated your parents. They're going to treat you like that someday. And, you know, do they place value on God? Do they place value on working hard? Like, are the things that are important to God important to them? So I think that has made a difference. I know one of the things that I did when I was single and guys would ask me out, the first question I would ask is, would I want this young man to be the father of my children? And I would say 99% of the guys that asked me out, I thought, no way. If I had just asked myself, would they be cool to date? Would they be fun to date? I would have probably said yes. But that extra question of thinking toward the future, thinking about what matters to God, it really did make a difference for me.
Right. And it doesn't allow yourself to get in those positions where, you know, your heart could be damaged because, you know, it's putting yourself out there. Meredith, we're going to take a really quick commercial break. And when we come back, I'm going to share my number two with those listening, and we'll continue on. We'll be right back.
Did you know that math is the foundation of all learning? Hi, Felice Gerwitz here with a special offer. Elephant Learning uses the way children naturally learn math to increase their ability at an early age. This program identifies where they are mathematically, what they understand and don't understand, and then provides your child experiences custom tailored to their personal level for learning. They cover a wide range of mathematical concepts for ages 2 through 9. If a child accelerates, this program takes them forward. If they need remediation, it gently takes them back to a more appropriate level. Elephant Learning wants math to be fun. It's like a game, a puzzle that engages your child, and when you step in as a parent and play mathematically at the level they understand, they love it. Get a free math assessment for your child by signing up for their 14-day free trial at elephantlearning.com, or for our special Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network offer, visit bit.ly/elephantlearningoffer. That's bit.ly/elephantlearningoffer. So if you want your child to be prepared at an early age to succeed in math and all the other subjects, check out this free trial on our website at bit.ly/elephantlearningoffer.
Well, I want to thank Elephant Learning again for being our network sponsor. And if you use the code MEDIAANGELS after your 14-day free trial, you will be able to get that for 50% off. And again, I don't know how long that is going to last, but it works now. So hopefully that offer will be available for you. And what's really cool is you can use it for up to 3 children. So great for our homeschool mommies with larger families. Everybody, welcome back. This is Vintage Homeschool Moms. Today we are talking about saving your heart for true love. You can find the show notes at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, episode 177. And Meredith, my second point here is preparing your heart for true love and understanding what love is. I have to say I loved reading books, and a lot of times when you read, there is this false message of what true love is. And we both write. So as authors, we know how the books go. And the idea is to have a situation where, you know, you're not getting along, because then, of course, if you did get along, there would be no storyline, right? And so we ended up writing the Two Seekers Mystery Series. And in that series of books, we made sure that, you know, there was one girl who liked one of the main characters in the book. And we made sure that, you know, that whole discussion took place. Which my daughter thought was quite hysterical at the time that I was able to weave that into the story, because Christina and I both wrote different parts of the book. But we actually had a real person in mind when we wrote this book that kind of acted like that, a little bit anyway. So it was fun. But the idea of true love really can be found in scriptures in 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. And I'm going to read this. Because I think this sums it up more so than anything I could possibly say on the topic. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. You know, and it goes on. But how beautiful. I mean, you know, when you look at the world's love and God's love, it is, you know, it makes you long for God's love and for an understanding of that, and how wonderful to find somebody, you know, that also believes the same thing. So, you know, we have to pray that for our children. And Meredith, you and I have this pact for years where we're praying for each other's spouses. So
yes, we are. Yes, we are. Because, I mean, doesn't it make a difference when you watch your son-in-law? He just lays his life down for your daughter. And that's what my son-in-law does. And so you think, where did this man come from? Oh, it had to be from God answering our prayers. So, yes. And God's, go ahead.
I wanted to share really quickly. One thing that happened recently is I went to get my hair cut, and I usually buy my girls, you know, a coupon from this place so they can go get their hair cut. So my daughter went with her husband, and she had a baby not that long ago and is still nursing. So he went along with her. Well, I went later to get my hair cut, like a month or so later. And the owner of this shop, Meredith, and this is a very busy salon, and I do know the owner, you know, so he felt comfortable coming to me. But he said he has not seen, outside of very few friends that he has, a couple that is obviously in love like they are. And, you know, here, you know, wasn't that sweet? I mean, he's a Christian, you know, so his little eye got kind of misty too, telling me that, you know, and it was just beautiful that he could tell me that. And, you know, as I think about this, you know, so much goes on in our lives. I don't even know that I told my kids that. I don't even know that I told them, but, he said, you know, what he really admired was neither one of them, like when you said gives 100%, neither one of them
acted like the other one owed them or was, you know, greater than, or, you know what I mean? It was, was that they were both, you know, like my daughter was asking, are you okay? You know, because my son-in-law was walking around with the baby, and when the baby was a little bit fussy, he took him out. And, you know, and he was concerned about her, you know. And so I just love that they were able to show that, you know. And you're right. This person came from the Lord. Okay, so you're number three.
My number three is prepare for marriage. And, you know, I think, and again, please don't, if you're listening to this, I'm not saying this is your son or this is your daughter or this is you, but a lot of American girls and boys prepare to catch someone from the opposite sex. You know, they dress a certain way, they wear a certain perfume or cologne, and, you know, they hang out at the right spots. They ask, oh, introduce me to this beautiful girl, introduce me to this handsome guy. And there is this whole time and energy, and honestly, so much advertising is geared to this, and so much money is made on this pursuit of finding this perfect, you know, desirable person of the opposite sex. And yet, then you marry them, and whoa, marriage is a whole different thing. And so my advice is, while you're waiting for true love, spend time preparing for marriage. And I'm not just talking about learning to cook or sew or learning to unclog a drain, although I think all of those practical things are great. But learn how to argue effectively. Learn how to, you know, disagree with other people in a way that's respectful and kind. Learn how to serve. Learn how to put other people's agenda before your own. Learn how to get along with children. How to take care of babies. Learn how to negotiate and make decisions with other people. And talk to couples who've been married a long time and ask them, so, hey, you know, what is your secret? What do you do that makes your marriage so loving? One time we were going away for a little weekend away, and we ran into this older couple. And the older couple they had been married like 60 years or something. And they said, do you want to know our secret? Do you want to know our secret? And we're like, of course. And so the husband said, well, we don't believe in the divorce. And then the wife said, but we do believe in murder, and that keeps us on our toes. And so I'm not advocating that. We don't believe in murder at all. So but we don't believe in divorce. We believe that marriage is for life, and we're committed to that, and there's no way out. And I think that gives you a different approach to marriage than a lot of people have. And that fidelity, that faithfulness, I think is something. Be loyal in your relationships. Be preparing for that day that God brings you your true love, and realize that it is a precious thing that needs to be taken care of for a lifetime.
Right. And that's the other thing too, Meredith. I agree 100% with what you're saying, but you and I have been blessed. Both of us, you know, pretty much have fairy tale, you know, between you met your husband in college. I knew my husband in college, but we didn't date until we were both finished with college. And so, you know, we're both blessed. So we're not saying if you're in an abusive situation or anything like that.
Right.
But just going with the mindset, because a lot of people go with the mindset of, well, if this doesn't work, you know, I'm out of here. And actually one of our Mommy Jammies Night speakers spoke to that issue, that was kind of how she treated her marriage, even as a Christian. And when her second marriage started not to work, that same mentality came to play until she realized, no, this is not right. And, you know, I'm going to make this work. So I will have that link in to that show in particular that was recorded, because I thought that was very telling, because even, you know, now the statistics are 50% of all marriages, whether you're a Christian or not, end in divorce.
Right.
And that's horrible. And it used to not be like that. It used to be something like, you know, 80% of marriages, if you were Christian, you know, only 20% ended in divorce. And I think we need to take back that number and really, I think as homeschoolers, that, you know, it's one of the things that we can do is talk to our children. And also, for me, my number three is avoiding the one-to-one situations. Because I think that, you know, as you were sharing, it's so much better to do things in groups. And because I wasn't allowed, you know, to do the dating thing, I could go to, let's say, a football game here or there, or a basketball game, or something happening where a group of us got together and went. And my parents, you know, had a very tight curfew of when I had to be home and things like that. So I think those are situations that sometimes people get into these situations where they're alone, and, you know, it just leads to other things. And, you know, my husband is not Italian. He's actually German-Irish, American-born. But he also has, you know, little sayings as well. And when we were discussing with our son who was being pursued, he basically said to my son, you know, holding hands only lasts so long. And, you know, it was like, you know, we just kind of looked at him like, whoa, where did that come from? You know, but it made a lot of sense. And it's really true.
Right.
And, you know, and it's just when you're young and you're in these situations, that's where, you know, all of these other things come from. And so we want to be, you know, careful with what we allow our children to do, because, again, you know, I see it in all walks of life, whether you're Christian or not Christian. It just seems like everybody's dating and everybody thinks it's okay. And, you know, I was talking to a parent one time who I knew was a committed Christian, and kind of appalled, you know, of a situation, you know, another situation that I had heard about, where young girls were being asked to send suggestive text messages, and they were, and whatever. And so, you know, this mom kind of looked at me, and it was like, you know, oh, well, you know, we do allow dating, and it's just, you know, I felt like my kids do, that we're the only ones that don't. But my kids are so busy, and this is where, you know, I've never been really a big advocate of sports, although my kids have always played sports because of my husband, Meredith, you know my story. And now I'm really happy. I am so happy because they train all the time, you know, and Michael train all summer. And, you know, they are always working towards getting better and looking at, you know, how are you, my kids play softball and baseball and all of that. And I am so happy and thankful, even though my lanai is now a gym. So it's, you know, we pushed aside the chairs and it's got a lot of equipment out there. But, you know, I know where they are, you know, and I just have to trust the Lord and trust that, you know, we pray for our kids and we try to mentor them as we can. And I love that, you know, your examples that you gave too, of asking other married couples. And that's basically, you know, all we can do, and then the rest is the Lord. And really it all boils down to their relationship with God and, you know, wanting to do right by that, right? You know, because we can't watch them every 100% of the time. So
I agree. And I wanted to just put in a little plug, because we have a class called Real Men 102, and I think it's God's Girls 103. It's about marriage, the Christian family, preparing for marriage. And our kids are at our church co-op. The guys one, the girls are doing the girls. And there's some overlap where they get together. And it's really brought a lot of great discussions up. And they've played some fun games, you know, like you know, having to make decisions like married couples would and stuff. It's really funny, but they've done a lot of serious things too. And, I think my kids all took that class, and it really did help them to have a right perspective. And also on our Finish Well show, Sarah and Mike share their story of first how they were friends before they courted and got married, and then the second one is on their courtship. So those are just some resources that if you're looking to kind of put some of the things Felice and I were talking about into practice, those are some resources for you. And I also have a Bible study for the topic of courtship and dating, and for a guy one and a girl one. So if Perfect. You're interested in any of those resources, I just want you to know they're out there and available.
Yeah. And I will put links to where your website is on the show notes on Vintage Homeschool Mom. So look for that
awesome.
As well.
Awesome.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Meredith. As usual, this is so much fun and the time goes so quickly. And you're such a blessing to me in my life. And I thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me. And I am so excited to see the true love that God brings to each of our children. And then, of course, for all these people who are listening, as God really moves in their family to bring the best to those who wait. So thank you again. God bless everyone.
I agree. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.